Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Now, this isn't going to be a typical learning session. I want you to think of this as a high-stakes strategic intelligence briefing. You're stepping into the role of our new regional sales manager for what is, frankly, one of the most critical federal territories we have, NASA and the Department of Veterans Affairs. These are huge agencies, and they are grappling with some monumental modernization mandates, not to mention mission-critical data security needs.
That's absolutely right. Our mission today is pretty simple, but it's crucial. We're going to translate all that raw intelligence we gathered at AWS Re, Invent 2025, all those technical announcements, all the product releases, into a four-pillar territory attack plan.
Okay.
And we're not talking about features, we're talking about levers, things that secure commitments. The strategy has to hinge on four things: demonstrating mandate urgency, engineering financial flexibility, delivering persona-specific messaging, and finally, establishing what I'd call irrefutable competitive differentiation. These are the pillars designed to just cut through all that bureaucratic complexity and get us straight to signed contracts.
Exactly. And the challenge for us, and really for you, is to translate the power of, say, a new guard duty feature or a CloudWatch update into a compelling mission outcome. And just as important, into the financial engineering that guarantees budget approval in these, you know, high stakes, highly scrutinized environments. We have to move past the feature list. We need to focus on mission enablement, on operational necessity. Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's start with the immediate pressure cooker our federal customers are sitting in. So when you look across the federal space, what is that one universal, almost existential pain point that every CISO, every mission owner is dealing with? I mean, whether they're at NASA trying to protect telemetry for the Artemis mission, or at the VA trying to secure millions of sensitive patient records, the root cause of their security misery is often the same thing, right?
It is. The foundational challenge, and we heard this over and over again from the industry, is universally a data problem. Good security operations, or maybe I should say effective security operations, they're just fundamentally crippled by a fragmented data environment.
Fragmented how?
Agencies just inherently have limited context. They have dangerously fragmented visibility across these massive sprawling environments. I mean, think about the VA. You've got hundreds of legacy systems running alongside all this new cloud infrastructure. It's a mess.
And when the data is siloed up like that, what actually happens? What's the practical impact?
It means the security signals are totally disconnected. An analyst gets a critical alert from one endpoint security tool. But to really understand the threat's scope, you know, did it affect the network? Did it touch any sensitive S3 buckets? What were the IMM roles involved?
They have to go digging.
They have to manually pivot between 3, 4, maybe 5 different dashboards. They're just wasting critical time on data aggregation and correlation instead of focusing on what really matters, which is immediate resolution.
Which leads, of course, to the outcome nobody wants.
Oh, yeah.
A delayed response. And that's not just a security failure, is it? In this world, that's a mission failure.
Yeah.
So the strategic angle for us here, it seems pretty clear. We sell the solution to the data fragmentation problem.
Precisely. Our native services, they achieve the key outcomes of centralizing that monitoring and significantly enhancing visibility into potential risks. And they do it right out of the box. For federal entities that are operating under mandates like Zero Trust or Executive Order 14028, a centralized security posture isn't just a best practice.
It's compliance.
It is compliance. Yeah. We have to be able to show the VA that centralizing their patient data audit trails means they can prove compliance far, far faster than trying to struggle with fragmented logs from a dozen different systems.
And the architecture that really supports that necessary visibility, that's the unified telemetry story.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a bit about the evolution of CloudWatch. How has it specifically addressed this customer pain point?
CloudWatch has, well, it's dramatically evolved. It's now what we call the undisputed home of telemetry.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a massive innovation announcement because historically, you know, customers had application logs ending up in one place, infrastructure logs in another, audit trails completely segregated somewhere else.
Right.
Now, we've centralized all logs from all accounts, all regions, across both infrastructure and applications, all into one data store. Our customers told us this was, and I'm quoting here, the most sought after and asked feature because it just solves the logistics of getting the data together for analysis.
And that immediately hits that silo problem we were just talking about.
Mm.
The traditional approach, it sees security teams, observability teams like SREs, and then the audit teams all operating with their own specific tools, their own independent data stores, which I imagine results in just exponentially increased costs from duplication, and probably worse, dangerous data inconsistency.
So we have to leverage this concept of the unified data store. We have to blur the operational lines, all the necessary data, be it detailed CloudTrail audit logs, VPC flow logs, application performance metrics. It now resides in one accessible location. This gives you comprehensive, correlated insights faster. It reduces the operational overhead of managing these spider webs of, ETL pipelines. And crucially, it dramatically cuts down on the cost associated with data duplication.
That's a huge point.
I can't stress this enough. When a large agency like NASA is storing the same VPC flow logs in three different tools, a SUM, a log analysis tool, and an observability tool, they are literally paying three times the storage and transfer cost. We eliminate two of those costs immediately.
Okay, now let's bring in a critical concern for any federal customer: vendor lock-in. They are, and should be, extremely concerned about interoperability. So how does our unified approach address their need for open standards?
That's a key differentiator. We have to lead with this. We are actively, and I mean actively, pushing support for open standards. We're proving we're the neutral ground for data. Specifically, we support the Open Cybersecurity Schema Framework, or OCSF, for all the security data.
OCSF, okay.
And OpenTelemetry for observability data. This directly meets the federal mandate requirements for large enterprises that want flexible, open standards for storing, enriching, and querying their telemetry data. They're not locked into our proprietary log format. They can move it, they can analyze it, they can integrate it with other mission tools using a globally accepted schema. That is a huge trust builder. It proved long-term utility.
All right, so shifting from just raw data collection to more proactive defense vulnerability and risk management are obviously paramount. If the VA has, say, thousands of devices and container images, all with vulnerabilities, how do we help them prioritize? Because that's where all the analyst time gets wasted.
It's the classic alert fatigue problem. They've got a mountain of vulnerabilities, but the real challenge is figuring out what to go prioritize first based on actual real-world impact. So we leverage Inspector to inject the necessary context into that whole prioritization process. Inspector actively determines, is this vulnerability actually in use right now? Is it being actively exploited? Is it relevant to resources that are currently running in production?
That context is golden for a mission owner, because a developer might have hundreds of container images just sitting dormant in a registry with high-severity CVEs, but the security team needs to focus all their resources right now on the two or three images that are actually running on their critical EKS workloads exposed to the internet. Inspector gives them that actionable signal.
And those context-rich signals, they then feed directly into Security Hub. Security Hub is our central risk management pillar, and it's not just an alert aggregator anymore. It functions as the unified security operations center. It takes signals, threats from guard duty, misconfigurations from our CSPM tools, sensitive data discovery from MACI, network exposures from Inspector, and it creates what we call exposure-based findings.
Exposure-based findings.
Yeah. This determines what resources are generating the highest risk in the environment by combining all those different factors.
So we're moving past the simple, hey, I have a vulnerability alert, to the crucial insight, which is, I have a mission-critical resource that is vulnerable, and it's exposed to an open firewall rule, and it contains sensitive PII data, making it a critical, non-negotiable risk.
And this is where we deliver the so what instantaneously. The ability to visualize the attack path is a massive differentiator here. Security Hub shows a clear graphical visualization of all the interconnected resources and the open doors between them. Imagine pitching this to NASA. We can say, look, we can trace an open internet gateway that has all ports exposed, trace that back to a developer EC2 instance with known vulnerabilities that's running with an overly permissive IAM role. Maybe it's labeled administrator access. And crucially, it has access to sensitive orbital trajectory data in S3. This drastic visualization just accelerates triage and remediation because the responder doesn't have to piece those five components together manually across all these disparate logs.
That level of instantaneous context, that must save security teams hours, which translates directly into reduced mean time to resolution, the MTTR. This visualization, plus the unified telemetry, should dramatically cut down on all that time wasted chasing false positives.
Exactly. It lets security teams stop chasing individual findings and start working backwards from the actual resource, that exposed EC2 instance or that vulnerable database. They can filter by resources that have the most findings, whether it's guard duty alerts, CSPM findings, or inspector vulnerabilities, and they can eliminate the source of the risk, not just treat the symptoms across disconnected dashboards.
That is a perfect setup. We've established the necessity, the why now, is driven by fragmentation and this need for risk-based prioritization. But you raised a fascinating question earlier.
Yeah.
How do we translate this speed, this reduction in MTTR, into clear, demonstrable dollar savings that will convince a CFO? We have to nail that before we even think about procurement.
We absolutely must. It's the key to unlocking the budget. Okay, this section is our roadmap for getting the deal funded. We've proven the technical imperative for speed and security. Now we have to prove the financial prudence. And this is where we really leverage the intelligence from reInvent, especially around the AWS Marketplace, multi-product solutions, or MPS, and simplified pricing.
So let's start with that procurement trend. What's driving this shift away from buying individual security tools and toward these aggregated end-to-end solutions?
The trend is it's a pretty profound shift in how agencies behave. They are moving away from buying individual best-of-breed point products and instead procuring end-to-end turnkey solutions. Mm. The business buyer, the mission owner, they're becoming more influential in technology procurement, and they are looking for comprehensive outcomes. They don't want to manage a bunch of individual software licenses.
Right.
So our sales strategy has to align with that perfectly. We need to be selling complete solutions tied to specific business outcomes, not just isolated service subscriptions.
And the marketplace is the vehicle for that outcome-based transaction. So how do these multi-product solutions, MPS, how do they specifically simplify that torturous federal procurement process, which can take months, if not years?
MPS is a critical evolution. It lets us bundle multiple complementary components. This could include our own software, professional services, like, say, integrating a specialized machine learning model with Accenture's data to knowledge services, and even complementary third-party products like Elastic or Snowflake, which the agency might already prefer for certain types of analysis.
It's all one package.
All of it is combined into a single, ready-to-buy solution executed through one single marketplace transaction.
So instead of going through three separate RFQs, three separate legal reviews, and three separate budget line items, one for the software, one for the systems integrator, one for the data analytics license, it's just one transaction.
Exactly. For a large government agency managing complex, multi-year budgets under these rigid constraints, that single transaction is a crucial logistical simplification. It dramatically reduces the time spent on negotiation, on risk assessment, on legal review. It offers a drastically faster time to value. This is how we bypass the procurement bottleneck.
That clarity is so essential, especially when you're dealing with budget dispersion across multiple accounts or departments within the VA or NASA. How does Marketplace help them consolidate that spend and then report on it effectively?
Well, Marketplace provides just unrivaled financial flexibility. Agencies can consolidate costs across multiple purchases, and critically, they can manage their third-party software spend using the exact same native tools they already rely on for their AWS first-party service spend.
You mean like Cost Explorer?
I mean tools like Cost Explorer, the CUR, the Cost and Usage Report, which is the foundational document for tracking every single dollar spent with us, and budget notifications. This completely integrates all that complex spend into one unified, transparent cost management framework, which is, as you know, mandatory for federal audits.
Okay, let's nail this down, the connection between operational speed and budget impact. We promised to translate MTTR reduction into dollar savings. How does the technical speed we just discussed lead to a verifiable number that convinces a CFO?
This is the critical calculation. When we talk about an 80% reduction in investigation time, like we saw with the internal Kindle team example, we have to quantify the cost avoidance. Federal agencies operate these complex, highly paid security teams. Let's just assume the average analyst costs, what, $150 an hour, fully burdened?
Sure.
If an incident involving a mission-critical system, like a VA patient scheduling portal, previously required a team of four analysts 10 hours for data gathering and triage, that's $6,000 in labor for one incident.
Okay, and if we apply that 80% reduction using CloudWatch investigations and the Security Hub attack path visualization,
that $6,000 drops to about $1,200. But, and this is even more powerful, we reduce the MTTR for the system failure itself. If that system is down or degraded, the cost of regulatory noncompliance, potential fines, or mission impact like delaying a critical NASA data upload is far greater. It's often calculated in hundreds of thousands per hour.
Wow.
So by cutting the resolution time from 10 hours to 2 hours, we are avoiding 8 hours of that massive operational loss. That's the real financial engineering, proving that our tools are mandatory risk mitigation investments, not just operational expenses.
Let's talk about the pricing model itself, because complexity is the enemy of budget approval in the federal space. How is a simplified pricing model for security helping us here?
We've actively moved away from those complex, opaque, usage usage-based pricing models for bundled security packages like the Security Hub Essentials or the Threat Analytics package. The new model is a far more predictable per resource-based pricing.
Okay, so what does that mean in practice?
Well, previously, federal customers had to guess their future data ingestion rates, which is just impossible when cloud usage scales unexpectedly. Per resource pricing lets them forecast costs based on an average number of EC2 instances or EKS clusters or S3 buckets over a month. This simplicity provides cost predictability, which is a major, major win for annual federal budgeting cycles, and it lets us associate a better, more competitive rate with bundling the services together.
And now for the hidden lever, the budget neutral value adds. What components can we emphasize or provided at zero additional cost to really neutralize that initial budget objection?
We have to emphasize the solution to the perceived data duplication cost. We completely eliminate the argument that centralizing data for security is too expensive because of replication. We can assure them that the first aggregated copy of centralized log data is provided at no additional cost for ingestion or replication.
No additional cost.
None. They only pay standard storage rates after that. If they need a second external copy, it's a minor 5-cent data transfer cost. For an organization like the VA, which is dealing with these monumental, compliance-heavy data volumes, this is a massive fiscal relief for centralized security compliance.
And what about adoption friction? What features are essentially free accelerators?
There are several key components that are offered at no cost to drive speed and efficiency. First, CloudWatch Investigations. This really powerful AI-powered triaging tool is available at no additional cost for logs. We have to leverage that internal anecdote. The Kindle team, facing a complex application failure, demonstrated an 80% time saving in investigations using this feature. It's an MTTR reducer that costs them nothing extra to activate.
Okay, what else?
Second, S3 table integration. Also available at no additional cost. This is the interoperability hook. It lets agencies expose their log data to any powerful analytics engine they prefer, like SageMaker, Athena, or even third-party data lakes, as long as it supports Apache Iceberg. This removes the need for customers to build and maintain these costly manual ETL pipelines just to get their log data out for complex analysis. It's free data mobility.
And the third?
Third is Facets. Included free of charge in the standard log class, Facet simplified those initial deep dives into logs without requiring a new security team member to learn complex query language expertise. It helps users quickly narrow down where issues are occurring without writing custom code.
So, to summarize our financial position here, we reduce procurement friction with MPS, we offer cost predictability through simplified per-resource pricing, and we neutralize the initial budget shock by making data centralization and initial AI investigation capabilities zero-cost value adds. We're selling simplicity and verifiable cost avoidance.
Exactly. So now that we've established the imperative and the financial mechanism, we have to talk about tailoring the pitch. A generic pitch will fail instantly in federal sales. The language we use and the outcomes we emphasize, they have to be precisely tuned to the buyer persona. And in this territory, we have two primary personas, the operational persona, think mission engineers, SREs, developers, and the security risk persona, the CISO, the audit officer, the compliance officer.
Okay, let's start with the operational persona, the developer at NASA working on the core systems for the Artemis program, or maybe the SRE maintaining the VA's electronic health records. Their metric for success is speed to mission. What's our focus with them?
Their focus is maximum speed, maximum efficiency, and reducing the immense cognitive load that delays deployment, debugging, and recovery. We use the Formula One pit stop analogy, you know, the evolution from that chaotic 67-second tire change in the 1950s down to the hyper-choreographed, data-driven 2.3-second stop we see today.
It's a 96% improvement.
Right. And it was achieved by adopting choreographed processes and what we call agentic AI ops, which is exactly what we deliver.
We emphasize agentic assistance.
Right.
It's human-led, but AI-assisted. So how do we make their daily operational tasks faster, especially when they're right in the thick of an incident?
We implement AI ops to offload all the mundane, manual, repetitive tasks to intelligent agents. First up, natural language querying. This is all about democratizing data access. It eliminates the need for developers and engineers to learn specific, complex query languages, like the proprietary search syntax of a legacy SIEM, which, you know, we could call LogiSense in this context.
So they don't need to be an expert?
Not at all. They can just ask questions in plain English, show me all latency spikes in the patient portal in Virginia that occurred after the last deployment. This just drastically reduces the time spent getting insights from telemetry data.
And that transition from, I need to go find a security expert to write a query for me, to, I can just ask the system myself. That's what sells to a busy engineer who's trying to meet a mission deadline.
Second, we come back to CloudWatch investigations. This is the ultimate efficiency tool for the operational persona. It automatically correlates resources, telemetry, and it creates an instant, comprehensive topology map of the application. It identifies the root cause and delivers a hypothesis that's supported by rich time series, evidence metrics, logs, changes. We're not handing them a pile of alerts. We're handing them the likely answer. This expedites their MTTR from hours down to minutes. It secures that operational speed.
And crucially, we're moving beyond just identifying the problem. We have a tool that can actually generate the fix for them.
That's the third critical mission accelerating point: automated remediation via Inspector. For code-related vulnerabilities found in Lambda functions or infrastructure as code files, IAC files, like Terraform templates, which are pervasive in modern federal environments, Inspector uses generative AI not just to flag the issue.
It does more.
It generates a complete tested remediation action, including a patch that the developer can simply review, download, and commit.
Wait, I need to pause you there. We are not just providing a list of files to change. We are giving them the functional, ready-to-deploy code patch.
That is correct. Imagine a NASA developer discovers an overly permissive S3 policy that was defined in a Terraform file. Inspector flags the vulnerability and immediately provides the updated, least privileged Terraform code snippet for them to paste in. This is pure speed to mission. It's the fastest, most friction-free path from detection to resolution, and it minimizes mission downtime. This capability drastically reduces the operational risk that comes with rapid deployment cycles.
Okay, now let's pivot sharply to the security risk persona. The CISO, the audit officer, the compliance team, they don't really care about a 2.3-second pit stop. They care about governance, absolute transparency, trust, and proactive defense against complex nation-state-level threats.
For them, the messaging has to emphasize assurance and verifiable intelligence. We start with extended threat detection in guard duty. Guard duty is using machine learning and sophisticated AI to identify these complex multi-stage attacks that span fundamentally different data sources, CloudTrail, S3, even runtime data from inside their EKS clusters.
So it connects the dots.
It connects the dots. It means we don't just alert on a single malicious API call. We deliver attack sequence findings that map out the entire kill chain with an understandable timeline and human-readable explanations. We're moving beyond generating single isolated alerts to delivering context-rich intelligence about the progression of an attack.
And this moves the CISO beyond alert fatigue to genuine threat intelligence. But let me introduce some friction here. Federal agencies are inherently conservative, especially about black box solutions. Trust in AI decision-making is critical, especially at the VA, where the consequences of an automated mistake could be severe. If the AI provides a verdict, this is a critical threat, the CISO is going to need to know why. How do we address that black box concern?
That's where we have to emphasize transparent AI. Our entire architectural philosophy is built around providing verified answers and, crucially, full traceability back to the source data. When our agents produce a hypothesis or a decision, they expose the reasoning, the underlying data sources they consulted, and even the generated SQL queries that were produced in the background.
So it shows its work.
It shows its work. This is governance baked right in. We don't just give a verdict. We provide a complete audit trail of the AI's decision chain. That moves us fundamentally beyond the black box concern that cripples adoption in these highly regulated federal environments.
Finally, what's the ultimate value proposition for that risk persona in terms of incident response capability, especially when they need human expertise backing them up?
It's the AWS Security Incident Response Service, or SIRR. This service offers direct 24/7 access to specialized AWS security professionals. But the core value we are selling is the speed of human engagement, which is enabled by the agentic AI-powered investigation that runs automatically. The moment a case opens, the agent performs all this automated triaging and investigative steps, checking interacting IPs, reviewing CloudTrail data from days before the incident, correlating configuration changes. So by the time the human responder gets involved, they can focus immediately on high-level decision-making, containment, and remediation strategy. They're not doing manual data collection and correlation.
So we've essentially used AI to eliminate that vast, wasteful gap between the alert creation and the human intervention.
Exactly. We dramatically reduce the time the human spends gathering data, and that enables them to focus on judgment. We can tell the CISO. We take the thousands of potential findings their existing tools generate, and we reduce them down to the two or three actionable, true positive cases per day that actually require human attention and strategic decision-making. That is proactive risk mastery.
Okay, so if we connect this all back, we're selling the operational persona efficiency and speed through AI-generated patches and automated investigations. And at the same time, we're assuring the risk persona that they have complete, transparent, and proactive threat mastery through contextual guard duty findings and pre-investigated incident response. This sets the stage perfectly for our final competitive move. Right? To truly win this territory, we have to confront the entrenched competitive reality. We are often not the first tool in the door. Agencies like NASA and the VA, they already rely heavily on legacy incumbents. I'm thinking of large integrated platforms like Microsoft Defender or third-party endpoint security tools like CrowdStrike. So how do we strategically displace, or maybe more effectively, subserviate these legacy solutions?
This is the competitive kill shot, and it lies in data integration. We are not fighting the legacy tools head-on in a one-to-one feature battle. Our strategy is to incorporate their data into our platform to gain superior context and deliver better results on top of their investment.
Wait a second. If we're telling the CSO that SOAR is the superior triaging platform, how do we convince them to keep paying the renewal fee for CrowdStrike? That sounds like a tough financial sell.
That's a fair challenge. The answer is the unique glue that's provided by the AWS Security Incident Response Service. SIR is specifically designed to bring in findings from third-party EDR solutions via managed connectors. Our pitch is this. While CrowdStrike or Defender might see a malicious file execution on an endpoint, they stop at the boundary of the operating system. They lack the necessary cloud-native context.
And we see the endpoint data, plus the CloudTrail activity, the IMM role assumption, the S3 access logs, and the VPC flow logs, right. All of it correlated together by our AI.
That context is the kill shot. We ingest findings from those fragmented third-party tools, we triage them using AWS automations and AI, and we provide much greater context across the customer's entire AWS ecosystem than the legacy vendor could ever provide alone. We're taking their siloed signal and making it actionable. We're proving that their third-party investment only becomes truly valuable when it's layered under our native context engine. We make their tools subservient to our broader intelligence.
You mentioned that real-world example earlier, reducing thousands of findings down to two or three actionable cases. That automation, performed by us on the customer's behalf, that's the key competitive difference. It shifts their human capacity immediately.
Exactly. And that transition from reactive firefighting to proactive optimization is driven entirely by our agentic AI capabilities. This technology is a unique differentiator against the fragmented, rule-based solutions of the past.
Let's define that. We hear agentic AI a lot. What differentiates our agents, particularly the AWS DevOps agent, from standard generative AI tools? Give me the simple analogy.
Okay. Think of most AI as a calculator, or maybe a highly skilled intern that just answers questions. Our agentic AI, specifically the DevOps agent, is what we call a frontier agent. It's less of an answering machine and more of an autonomous, proactive sentry.
A sentry, okay.
A frontier agent is designed to continuously look for issues and anomalies before they trigger any alarms. It's not waiting for a metric threshold to be breached. It's monitoring for patterns of change and drift that suggest a problem is imminent, like resource saturation or non-standard configurations creeping into the environment.
That distinction is profound. It's the difference between an investigation after a failure, which is what CloudWatch Investigations addresses, and automated reliability improvement. It's moving the customer entirely beyond the firefighting mindset. You're changing the metric from mean time to recover to mean time to prevent failure.
And this proactive intelligence is deeply embedded in the developer workflow, which is paramount for high-velocity federal programs like NASA's Artemis. This is where we leverage Kiro, the AI coding agent, connected via management control plane servers, specifically the application signals MCP server.
We probably need to define MCP for anyone listening who isn't inside our technical architecture.
Right. Think of the management control plane server as a kind of universal API adapter. It acts like a standardized USB-C connector between the AI model, Kiro, and our complex internal APIs. It allows the AI to securely and authoritatively access application runtime data, metrics, and logs without the developer having to manually integrate dozens of different SDKs.
And what does this enablement look like in practice for a developer? What do they actually do?
It means developers can use Kiro directly in their IDE, their integrated development environment, to ask these sophisticated questions about application behavior right after a deployment. Things like check latency after deployment in the West Coast region, or even recommend an appropriate alarm threshold based on the last 4 weeks of metric density.
Wow.
This ability to embed security, observability, and performance checks intrinsically into the development cycle is shifting security left in a way that legacy external scanning tools just cannot possibly match. It accelerates their mission while improving their security posture.
That embedding of intelligence at the very earliest stage, that's crucial for ensuring code is secure and compliant before it ever even hits production. So what's the ultimate vision for this agentic AI race against time? Where are we telling the CSO the industry is headed?
The future of response is autonomous ops. Our vision is that the agent has already figured out the root cause, validated the optimal fix, and taken corrective remediation action by the time a person wakes up or logs in. They don't receive an alert. They receive a comprehensive report detailing the failure, the fix that was applied, and the system verification steps that were taken overnight. This eliminates the need for manual security scanning, password management as we know it, and lengthy triage processes. It codifies security and automation into the very fabric of the company's operations. This is the ultimate competitive vision. Zero unplanned downtime, with zero human intervention needed for 99% of incidents.
So we've established that this agentic AI capability, backed by our native data integration strategy, offers a clear, superior path to displacing those entrenched, siloed legacy vendors by providing contextual, proactive, and automated incident mastery.
So let's just quickly synthesize the four strategic pillars that form your attack plan for the NASA and VA territory. I want to make sure you walk into every meeting with an irresistible value proposition. One, the imperative. Leveraging that pervasive data fragmentation and risk-based exposure findings from Security Hub and Guard Duty as the why now mandate for immediate compliance-driven modernization. Focus on MTTR reduction.
Okay.
Two, the financial play. Using multi-product solutions in the marketplace and predictable per-resource pricing to bypass procurement hurdles. Supplement that with zero-cost log centralization to neutralize initial budget objections and show them the quantified ROI for speed improvements.
Right.
Three, the mission hook. Tailoring your messaging to speak the language of speed AI ops, Gen AI pouches, CloudWatch investigations for the mission owners, while assuring transparent, proactive trust with extended guard duty and SIR agents for the risk officers.
And the final pillar.
And four, the competitive advantage. Positioning our agentic AI and our unified data integration SIR-R as the superior glue, as the critical context-rich differentiator that renders those manual fragmented legacy solutions functionally subservient to our platform.
What's truly fascinating here, when you step back, is that the strategic value isn't just the raw power of the AI itself. It's the operational, the financial, and the logistical simplification that's achieved through the marketplace in that unified data store. We're not selling complex cloud services. We are selling simplicity, verifiable cost avoidance, and mission velocity in a world that is just increasingly burdened by complexity and security threats.
This strategy positions us as the inevitable successor to legacy operations. But we also have to look forward. We've established that the future of security involves moving beyond relying solely on standardized, centralized tools. The cutting edge is what some people are calling the bot of bots, a world where individual responders demand specialized, personalized agents. Agents trained on their unique research methodologies, their specific case histories, and their preferred courses of action, all to achieve hyper-specialization and instant customized outcomes.
So here is the final provocative thought that we need every CIO and CISO at NASA and the VA to confront. Given that the technology exists today for this level of personalized, hyper-specialized, autonomous assistance, how quickly can your agency move from buying standardized, generalized tools to building and adopting these highly personalized, autonomous AI assistants? That question, the metric of readiness for personalized, autonomous operations, that is the real measure of future operational success and is the key differentiator between agencies that will lead and those that will inevitably fall behind.